Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360. On April 15th, 2016, our favorite day. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts
of
business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
You can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And, of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com and producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
Did I hear you say that April 15th was your favorite day?
It is, kind of, yes, because I always do my taxes early.
Oh, you little goody two-shoes.
And I know you often, you because you have somewhat complicated taxes, you often do an extension, right?
Not this year. They're done. I just have to pick them up actually today and sign them and mail them out. So, and in case anybody wasn't aware, this year we have a slight reprieve,
right?
Because Friday is today is some sort of a national holiday or something.
A holiday in D.C.
In D.C., not a national holiday.
Yeah, some sort
of – what is it? I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
But anyway, so the taxes that technically aren't due today, they're due Monday, the 18th, correct?
Right.
So a little reprieve.
A little. And of course, we're taping this show for the 15th of April, which is the day of the dead for some people. They have the Dia de Muerte or whatever in some Spanish countries, but in the U.S. it's April 15th.
April 15th, I like that. We'll rename it.
And, you know, the subject of money, Jackie, is such a huge topic in conversation in families today. Everything from the political realm to the social realm, it's so important. People really don't understand.
Money makes the world go round. Isn't that a song?
Yeah, it is, and it always will be.
It's not love, people. It's money.
It's money. Life is so much easier. What is my favorite quote is obviously one of my favorite guys, Zig Ziglar, right? Money isn't the thing in the world, money. But it's right up there with oxygen.
There you go.
Yeah. Jackie, who's our guest today?
Our guest this morning is John Kubler. He's the president at Kubler Financial. Now, as the founder of Kubler Financial, John has devoted over 25 years to identifying and resolving the inexcusable oversights and other unnecessary problems that plague too many doomed-for-disaster estate plans that almost all high-net-worth families currently possess. Kubler Financial protects the personal and corporate bottom lines for many clients who enjoy various forms of income generation streams, while also creating other new opportunities for risk elimination and preservation of assets for their family's long-term wealth. Now, John and Kubler Financial are going to be sponsoring the Manhattan Beach Chamber, their monthly mixer, on April 21st at Plaza Bank of Manhattan. And Joe, we've gone to a couple of these events. They're great. I think they're subtitled Meet the Entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a great event each month, and we may be going to this one too. Welcome to the program, John. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Hey, thanks for the invitation. I appreciate it.
We often, John, we talk about managing our family and financial resources, but as you well know, it isn't about the amount of money you have. People with a lot of money, that is what most people would consider a lot of money, often don't manage their resources very well, right?
Correct.
So how did
correct.
Tell us a little bit about the genesis of Kubler Financial. How did you get into the business of helping people manage their resources for high net worth individuals?
Yes, it's definitely, there's no glamour to it, that's for sure. I am originally born and raised in a town of about 18,000 people, Columbus, Nebraska. And theoretically, I let everyone know, just like anybody else, I got my start 22 years old working the rural parts of the state. And that was probably the biggest benefit over a long-term period due to the fact that trying to work with individuals, you know, not that it matters coast to coast, but definitely at the age of 22, 23, trying to work with a farmer to give you $1,000, $5,000 to bring you into their life to help protect their family, that's a challenge. And so the genesis started with literally nothing more than some bloody knuckle work, getting out there, meeting a number of people. I was then able to begin finding myself in situations that were, you know, some would call it luck. Others would call it, you know, perfect timing, where I was finding myself at a very young age in situations that put a massive amount of responsibility on me with regard to situations where loved ones had passed away and a surviving spouse had a massive amount of money that they then had to try to figure out how to budget and live their life and still raise a family. And also then in turn, you know that they're not going to lose it all based on certain types of poor investing or by not doing things properly. So that coupled with, you know, once again, the hard work is where it all started. Kubler Financial started, you know, very vanilla. As time ticked on, you know, back in the day, Nebraska football in the mid-90s actually had a good college football team. And for the sports fans, you know, it's been over 20 years since that, since we've seen those glory days. But couple of individuals that I had known, and I'd done some speaking for the University of Nebraska, and I was helping educate a few of the players, ended up going pro. I was fortunate enough that they came back to me and asked me to help them with their lives after securing some sizable contracts. And the fuse was lit. And that was probably, you know, 15 years ago. The fuse became lit real quick to where I found myself going from a traditional a mindset of wealth management to redefining for my clients' lives what we try to do, what we call more of a true definition of wealth management, which the short version, which is pretty cliche, is make money, protect money, and make it tax efficient. However, in a grander sense, and you hit the nail on the head earlier, there are so many other things, because we all have such busy lives, that take place on a daily basis that can erode a person's financial well-being without them even trying, that cause for all of us to kind of move around in more of a subconscious, vulnerable, or insensitive state, or, you know, ultra-sensitive state or insecure state, where, you know, 3 to 5 to 10 years goes by, and you could be, once again, freshly out of college, or you could be sitting on, you know, $50-100 million of real estate or whatever the case may be, but these same eroding forces impact everyone. And so my career path has evolved to where we spend quite a bit of time working in depth with the families and the businesses that we impact, making sure that we go through thoroughly all those details, not just up front, but over the, if we're lucky enough and if I'm, you know, I'm around and we got a great infrastructure, but for the rest of their life and their families' lives.
Now there must be a cutoff below which you can't work with a family or an individual. What can you give us an idea of the minimum net worth individual that, that Kubler Financial can work with today?
So it's wild. Is that, you know, I think for sure matter of time, because I have two kids and I'm busy. I think in general, you know, we're all taught at some point you've got to, you know, raise that bar or level of the people you can work with because of just, you know, revenue versus time spent and, you know, how much do you want to generate for your company or your business.
Right.
So about 15 years ago, I formed a sidebar company or sister company that has a number of national advisors that I've mentored. So to answer your question directly, Kugler Financial brings on new clients now of $10 million or greater. And, you know, that's within reason. You know, I get referred from family members or dear friends or people I've met. That's not a hard rule. But then beyond that, Kugler Financial will consult with, you know, and help any of these gentlemen. You know, the oldest advisor that I've mentored is 15 years old. And so my whole theory was I made a lot of promises when I was 22, 23 years old to a lot of families, and their kids have gotten older. They've got a lot of friends. They've got a lot of neighbors. And being self-employed, you walk around with a constant fear of where is your next potential client going to come from? So Kugler Financial is $10 million plus. However, the organization's infrastructure is built in a way that we make sure that we continue to work with all of our clients that we've worked with for years, and we will not, you know, operate on a closed-door policy. We will take any referred business, and we will work with people. It may be where I'm consulting or depending on the client, that's not even needed, but there's always going to be the ability for us to impact, you know, wide-ranging demographics of people.
Well, that makes me happy. I'll take that as a yes, that you want me.
Yeah, you know what? Here's our thing. If people that we meet are good people and they want advice and we feel like we can get along, right, then we're gonna work with you. I mean, the last thing we want to do is wake up on a Sunday night and look at our planner and notice that we may have four or five people that, you know, they don't want to see us and we don't want to see them. So
right,
we operate more on a different, you know, mindset of if you're a good person, we definitely have got the ability to help you.
Right.
I've got a question for John. You mentioned the traditional theory behind wealth management and the eroding factors. Can you get into that, the eroding factors? We've all heard the term about protect the principal. What is it that you say, Joe? You have a phrase that you use a lot.
Okay, I'll.
That's similar to that. But anyway, yeah, talk about these eroding factors.
Well, I mean, the eroding factors, it's like anything else in life. Like I had a spouse or female spouse of a client once that, you know, was questioning, you know, our maintenance that we're going to do, you know, and the client's choosing whether it's twice a year, four times a year, once a year. I try to just compare it to her own personal maintenance that she does every month, nails, hair, you name it, or in this case, the male client I talked about is a home that he has beautifully articulate, whether it's having the local, you know, exterminator, weed killer, you know, anything to keep all these other things in our lives personally or tangible cars. You know, you drive by in the South Bay, all the car washes, people getting them washed to maintain them. Well, the eroding factors don't stop with people's general planning. So there's never anything that's with malicious intent, but the reality becomes if you sit down to do your planning with your financial advisor or your accountant, like here on April 15th, or your attorney to do some business planning or some estate planning, or your banker, you know, regarding your different, you know, checking, savings, and or your different lines of credit for your businesses, you name it, eroding factors kick in the minute you walk out the door. So you guys were chuckling about Friday earlier. Well, what happens is the minute you leave from getting your returns done on Friday, everything that's going on in life caused, you know, eroding factors. Some are directly related to the financial world, rising interest rates, you know, selling a business, increase net worth, you know, different things that are involved that directly will impact your current situation. Other things such as death, divorce, birth of a special needs child, loss of a job, you know, it all sounds like things you've heard before, but there are truly moving things that impact on a very quick basis the need to make sure that you have your eyes on what you're doing, because once again, it's not intended, but all those eroding factors are ongoing. So the minute you mow your yard, the grass isn't going to stop growing. Yeah, you wrap up mowing for the Saturday, and you go drink a cold beer. The next thing you know, 5 days later, your grass is long again. So you have to realize that once you're done Friday, doesn't mean you're done. It may feel great, and everybody exhales, but the best thing you can do is start being prepared to maintain that. Another eroding factor is the lack of coordination between the client, their family members, and all the other professional advisors in their life. So we're a big believer in the abundance theory versus the theory of scarcity, meaning that, you know, we want to be able to recognize that we can work with all advisors, everybody collaborate, and do it on an ongoing basis in order to make sure success continues for the long haul. So the eroding factors are truly either financially related, personally related, or within their advisory circle related, where there's no, you know, coordination of what's happening for that client. And here's what would shock you. It once again impacts everybody, from someone getting out of college to, you know, you can have the most successful individual that you know, and it doesn't mean that anyone's doing it, once again, maliciously or they're bad people. It's just life's busy. So, you know, this will be an ongoing cycle of life.
I preparing for this show, I went through your website, and I can tell that you must have had a very hands-on approach to the website, because the way that you explain things, like you cut your grass and you have a beer, 5 days later, hey, it's your job isn't done. The grass has been growing the whole time. I love
that. Right.
And you quote Andrew Carnegie here. I love this. The first generation earns the money. The second squanders most of the money. And the third generation finishes off what little, if any, is left. And I know you run into this all the time.
You know, I do. And what I have to be careful is that, you know, being from Omaha, you know, where Warren Buffett's at, and you know, all the people from Berkshire Hathaway. I mean, here's the deal. And TD Ameritrade, you know, is a vendor there, the Ricketts family. You know, so there are very... What I don't ever want to do is, those quotes are great because it's meant to cause the ability to have people raise an antenna. The reality is that there are a number of people with great advisors that have done things right and have found a way to really pass on, you know, dynastically, which means multiple generations. You know, the old show Dynasty with Linda Evans.
Right.
That means, you know, dynastic is multi-generational wealth planning. But what that quote can bring to America, and it's interesting even with what's going on with politics today, is that if you really look back at the years that America has been in existence and the time frame at which we've even understood as a nation money, unless people have inherited it from England and they've come over from, you know, different parts of the world that are 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 years of history, you know, we are so new to understanding money that it almost became unpopular. You know, how many of us know people that are afraid if they've got wealthy parents, or if they have parents that have got children, you know, that it's almost become like this non-cool thing to educate your kids or help your kids out or mentor your own children to be good, receivers of wealth long-term. And so the reality is if you go and you really study some of these other cultures, whether it's Austria, England, you know, Israel, whatever the case may be, they take a lot of pride in keeping and educating their families to make sure that that wealth is maintained for generations and multiple generations,
right,
whether it's a family business, whatever. So once again, not being a know-it-all, it's just more of a matter of looking at this from a bigger perspective. I mean, we're 300 years old as a country, if we're lucky, and then maybe a couple hundred more years of being settled before that. And so we're so new with our money, and all these big companies in Silicon Valley, and all these big people with a lot of cash, that it isn't like it's, you know, anyone's looking to do anything bad. It's just the focus on actually making that something that, you know, we want to try to accomplish, which is to educate our family members or to be philanthropic. those are things where other cultures have already figured that part out. It's because they're more mature.
Right. There is a great deal of things that we'd like to discuss, but one thing, John, that I am actually studying to be a New York Life agent. I'm actually in the interview process because I want to do what Kubler Financial does. I want to help people, maybe on a different scale, but I want to help people, individuals plan their financial futures and utilize the resources they have to make their futures better. One of the tools that blows me away is life insurance, especially permanent life insurance and the tax code advantages of personal life insurance for estate planning. Can you talk a little bit about that?
You know, it's such a very, it's a great tool. It's a very misunderstood tool. However, the ability to understand that as a way in which you can utilize it and its benefits toward allowing you to build a business, allowing you to not just protect your family, but depending on how an individual has already grown their net worth or where they're at in life, it actually can play a huge role in the passing on of wealth to future generations, passing on of wealth to philanthropy, being creative for people to protect their assets against liability. It's a great tool. I mean, I've been very fortunate over the years to have been actively involved in all aspects of business, in all aspects of the financial world. And so I don't wake up in the morning, even though that's a primary driver of where I personally can help consult people right now, doing jumping jacks to, life insurance song. But I think what happens is also for those people that run away from agents that do it for a living and do it well, cocktail parties or wherever, it's more from the fact that the industry itself has kind of created more of a culture where it's looked at as a bad thing, or it's looked at as, hey, like in the movie Groundhog Day, the dude's running at Ned Rice Center or whatever because the guy sells life insurance. Well, there's a lot of that out there. But the reality is, as people mature and as they, have children and or they accumulate wealth or they take a serious approach to what their overall financial objectives are, that becomes a very critical component at times in making sure people are successful long term. And it's not every time, but it does. It's actually a dynamic tool.
Well, are there other tools that you use regularly with some of your clients besides permanent cash value life insurance that are as powerful or maybe just a different tool?
It just depends on what the client's objective is. So, for example, I've had the experience and still help manage, people's businesses when needed. Kubler Financial's basically slogan now is the estate maximization company. So our whole job is to help people maximize their estate while living and at death by looking at everything. So what we won't do is when we go through our process, there's a lot of time where we refer a lot of business, even the local wealth management firms, because I've got people I can refer out to that do that. We don't specifically do that. What we do have is the ability to recognize, because of the years of being in multiple facets of the business world, that it might be where putting them in touch with an advisor that truly is very thorough in the philanthropic world, we're able to be involved and work with them if those solutions help in their current situation. It might be a situation where they're looking to do or solve issues on a grander scale at an earlier stage of their life with whether it's college planning or, retirement planning. And there are specific individuals that are very, very good at doing that. And then we help make sure that's coordinated with everything else that they're trying to accomplish. Almost serving as a quarterback, in a way that we help find the right people and put them in the different positions to make sure everything is a success. Whether it's with regard to their business, their ability to want to pass on wealth, grow wealth, what have you. I know where I'm good, and I know all the areas I've operated in, but we're not control freaks. We're willing to refer all that out and allow the people that do it great all day long to handle what they're doing.
It goes without saying, John, that you've been successful. Kubler Financial has been very successful. Are you in Connecticut now?
I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina right now.
Charlotte, North Carolina. Okay. I'm familiar with some parts of South Carolina. You have been so successful that to sponsor a chamber mixer. Tell us a little bit about why it's important to you to want to sponsor a chamber mixer here in Manhattan Beach. What is it about that connection that you enjoy?
Well, my daughter goes to middle school. My son goes to Manhattan Beach Middle School.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I've got an office in Manhattan Beach in downtown Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the byproduct of becoming successful has nothing to do with, I happen to be in a city I've been coming to for 15 years, and at times will travel depending on the clients I'm working with and where they live. I think the reality, though, becomes that everything that I did early on in my career and where I still maintain a chief operation in Omaha, Nebraska, you know, I believe that, you know, that I've got the ability to help. There's a lot of successful local businesses, you know, that are a heck of a lot more successful than myself.
Hmm.
So I believe that by sponsoring a mixer like that, a number of things happen. One, I'll hopefully meet a number of people that I can learn from and that I can find value in that relationship, whether it's just community-driven. Another is I'm involved in a couple local charities that, you know, I want to help expose these charities to individuals within the community. Next Step LA Foundation, you know, is a wonderful charity that I get behind. And so bringing those worlds together is a big deal. And finally, you know, if there's areas that I can help because my kids are young and I want to provide, you know, a good example, I believe part of what helped me growing up in the area that I grew up in is no different than Manhattan Beach or our communities throughout the LA Metro, which is there's a lot of great people that are working hard that want to do things the right way and that love the community they live in. And so being able to get involved and meet the people that are doing that by sponsoring the event is something that's super important to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well,
Joe, I just cut in here. You know, these are terrific events. As I mentioned, we've gone to a couple. The best part for me, generally, and John, I'm sure you're probably going to get up and do a short presentation at the event.
I don't, you know, I can do it. I didn't know if I was or not, but
okay.
Definitely if they would like, I'll do it. I'll do it fast. I didn't know what was all, if that was going to be a case. If so, I mean, I can definitely, you know,
I'm not sure. At past events, they've had generally the sponsoring entity get up and make a short presentation. And I'll tell you something, you learn so much great information at these. I went to one about, I don't know, 6 weeks ago up in El Segundo, a big door studio. Patrick Maloney was the sponsoring entity. And he got up and he did a little presentation. And I'll tell you, you just learn so much. And it's like free advice from professionals, whether it's an attorney, an accountant, an advisor. You learn so much just going to these things.
Patrick Maloney is such a great guy, you'd never know he was an attorney. That's a joke. I love you, Patrick.
I got it. I'm sitting here politically not responding, laughing too hard, but I work with a lot of attorneys, and they all know how I feel of them, which is nothing but love.
Nothing but love.
Love 24/7 for those people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but you pick up great advice, you know, and
correct.
And as I said, it's like free, as opposed to, you know, calling somebody and saying, let me meet with you and sit down and talk to you. It's mm-hmm. a great venue to pick up pearls of wisdom.
Yeah.
We learned a lot from Patrick.
He talked on, he did our show in the recent past, and he talked on partnerships and the whole concept in his world of perhaps thinking more about a prenup for a partnership, and really, you know, examining why you're getting into the partnership, having an exit strategy, and all of those things that he runs into daily with people who got involved. They're deep in as partners. All their assets are commingled, and then they decide that they don't like each other.
Yes, pretty much a lot. That's a high percentage of the time. And once again, it's just people change, lives change, external forces come into play that impact relationships, sometimes not even business related.
Right.
Some partners want to take the company one direction, others are happy where it's at.
Right.
So, yeah, having partnership prenups, I'm a big supporter of. Usually if it can go wrong in a partnership, it's going to.
Yeah. And in my recent experience interviewing for New York Life, of course, New York Life is focused on the end game. And it isn't about your partner necessarily, but what if your partner, unfortunately, should pass away? Maybe you don't see eye to eye in terms of planning with their spouse, or the spouse has different needs, and they're not around to actually contribute to the partnership, but they want the proceeds from the partnership. So there's complex issues here that meet.
Well, what it comes down to is life is messy.
Mm.
Life is messy, and what John is saying basically is you're starting out in life, or you could be midlife, and you say, okay, it's time to get my ducks in a row. Let me meet with a financial guy. Let me meet with an insurance guy. Let me meet with my banker. And you sit down and you say, okay, I've got two kids that'll be going to college in 2030 and blah, blah, blah. And you sit down, you set up the college funds, you set up your pension or your IRA, you set all this stuff up, and then you think, okay, I'm done. You're not done.
Right.
Every time there's a change in your life, you know, and it doesn't have to be a huge change, but every time there's a change in your life, it's going to affect what you've put in place. What you're saying is that not even necessarily eroding, just things change. You get married, you have a kid, you buy a new home, you sell a home, you start a business. They affect all of this.
At the end of the day, because it never ends, even after you're dead, that can be an early death, it can be a late death, and that's not trying to sound, you know, negative or depressing. It's true, because the reality is whether you pass away at 95, 85, 40, is there's people, family, business employees, what have you, tied to the estate that you've been maintaining. Mm-hmm. That's going to have an ongoing evolution within itself. And the reality is we see it every day of the week. I was with some people out here yesterday moving here from Dallas to the East Coast, and they are in their 70s, beautiful family, done very well, but had a great discussion with them how they never thought in their 70s, with kids and grandkids, that this type of move and what they're doing, how it can be so challenging, and even their stress on the marriage after 40 years of marriage, and these people are in their 70s, and money is not the issue anymore.
Mm.
It's every other factor that just continues to develop.
Mm.
So, sooner, it's great, because the sooner you just wake up understanding that you can have a to-do list with 30 items on it, and you can knock out 23 of them, mm-hmm. you're going to wake up with 30 again tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just, the change is always going, and that's what's nice about being able to just do planning. It helps prevent hyperventilation.
Mm. I we cannot let this go. I think we're going to take a brief break, and then after the break, we're going to talk about, I mean, it is April 15th. This show is being taped for April 15th. It is tax day, technically. And we're going to talk about that dirty subject, taxes, in just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, and we're talking with John Kubler, founder of Kubler Financial, and we're also talking about the Mixer coming up in Manhattan Beach on the 21st. It's a week from yesterday. The 21st is a Thursday, and it's going to be fantastic, 5:30 to 7:30. at the Plaza Bank, which is a great location. Is that the
rooftop?
It's the rooftop deck. It's Highland and Manhattan Beach Boulevard. And it's a great location, great venue. There are usually some kind of hors d'oeuvres or something, and it's a great time. You meet a lot of great people, and you might even meet John Kubler. So we highly recommend that you attend. The Chamber always does a fantastic job of putting these events on, and they're going to be great events. So it's $20 for a member, $30 for non-members, well worth the price of admission. Now, John, we have to talk about it. It's April 15th. This show is airing. And just to set off the discussion, if you look at a dollar and you just cut it in half, the average American family is paying anywhere from 50 to 60% of their income in taxes, whether it's sales tax, income tax, property taxes, you name it, there's a tax, gas taxes, 50 to 60%. And the other 25% is being paid in interest. They're buying a home, they're buying a car, they're buying all sorts of things, and they're paying some kind of interest on those things, an additional 25%. So when you come right down to it, 70 to 80% of the income of the average American is being paid out in taxes and interest. But let's focus on taxes, John, because as reading your website, which is it's there's a lot of depressing stuff here, but the reading the website.
It is. That's why I try not to read it myself.
It's the number one leading cause of the breakup of multi-generation family farms and ranches, which are really close to my heart. The family small farmer. Tell us about how we can, learn from this and avoid these issues in our own lives.
You know what? I mean, you've got the issue with tax, and it's such a confusing area of life to begin with. We've got sales tax when we go to buy something. You've got income tax, which is on money you earn.
Right.
You've got tax, state, federal, municipal, what have you, if you own a business. We've got so many variations of taxes that you also then have tax when you pass away on capital gains of property that you may own if it wasn't stepped up or structured properly. Most of the time you've got real estate and properly owned stocks, et cetera, but you're fine because of our tax code. However, once you get through that, you've got situations where people that have maybe saved $2 million in a 401k, that they don't have a spouse, when they die, if not structured properly with the inheritors of that or the heirs, they will owe federal income tax on that entire amount. Now, you take it one step further, and you always hear all this stuff anymore about the death tax and the federal estate tax. And the reason you get tightly held businesses or farmers and ranchers or other wealthy individuals that run into a tax issue is that code is set up, is that once you're worth over, if you're married, right now it's about $10.5 million, just to keep it in good round numbers, where the average person that has a net worth of that level, usually their attorneys did a pretty good job of making sure that they're covered. And then there's even legal ways that are very effective that can be, put to use that will help structure the businesses and the farm or other assets in a way where it avoids the federal income tax. The issue comes into play where if this is done and natural eroding factors, once again, come into play where the structures that are set up are not maintained properly or they're not reviewed or maintained long term, you get into an area that, all these wealthy farmers, ranchers, whatever, once again, no malicious advisors involved, just life happens. You come into some situations, tax laws change, tax code changes, they're making more money, their lives change, it hasn't been reviewed, tax returns weren't filed right on the businesses that are, you know, being or going through an audit at best. Most people with a lot of money, 10 million plus, will go through an IRS audit at death or an estate audit. Because the federal government wants to try to make sure that if there's anything involved that will, that they can turn up, the tax may be due on, they're going to try and locate that. So part of the issue is, once again, has nothing to do with a lack of effort. It has to do with maintaining the effort that was done on an ongoing basis to prevent all these changing eroding factors from, you know, an individual losing 50 to 55% of their net worth. So the way the tax code is set up is you may have a ranch in Northern California, you might be an almond farmer with $100 million with side businesses or what have you, or $40 million, and if not structured right at passing, there could be a liability of $10, $15, $20 million due, and the only way to try and pay the government is, you know, the land has to potentially be sold. So, and these are very real items. They're not meant to be depressing. They're just real-world examples that happen, you know, and those are the areas that a lot of times, because we all, you know, don't, death is a tough thing because none of us, including myself, feel like it's around the corner.
Right.
And so when it occurs, these are the areas, if not done right, that can out of nowhere cause, you know, a business to have to sell or get rid of employees or what have you just to cover a tax bill due by the owner.
Now, you know, on a upbeat note, the potential for planning, succession planning properly for generations to come is very real. With the right information, you can make this work for your children and your children's children and on and on. Tell us a little bit about the shape of that, when you really have it together and you've got a good plan.
It all starts with commitment, and that's just not commitment from your advisory team. That's commitment from the client themselves. So, like anything else in life, you know, if that is something you want to be successful at, it's got to be a commitment. I mean, if you want that fresh green grass cut every week and have the best lawn in the street, you're committed to it. You know, if you're committed to looking good and getting your nails done and maintaining that properly, you're committed to it. So similarly, you know, the biggest way to succeed with the planning or succession planning is to identify, by going through a proper process, identify the vulnerabilities, identify what can be done immediately and in the near future to put yourself in a position to accomplish what needs to protect you right now. And then after you identify your longer range, you know, goals for your family or your succession, you know, vision, you then have to be committed to, you know, it's not fun to sit down with guys like me all the time. I try to make it fun. They have a good personality, I tend to think. But the reality is I'm the last guy you want to have a meeting with. Usually, because it's boring.
Yeah.
You know, I woke up one day and realized I'm a nerd. I am in a business that is nerdy. There's nothing, you know, no one wakes up. It's not like going to buy a new mountain bike. I mean, this is, I have to go talk about my estate. And I know John, you know, a nice guy, but this is horrible.
Right.
So, I mean, the reality is that it requires commitment from everybody involved in order to make it work and make it successful.
Right.
I don't think it's boring. I think it's fascinating. And
but you're a geek, though.
Yeah, I am. You're right. I am a geek. You're right.
That's so funny.
I mean, you know, I actually do, too. But part of that is I enjoy the people I work with, you know, genuinely. But also I think, for me, it's more of a call it what you will, it's a hybrid of art and science, you know, in a different way of looking at it. So it's definitely, but once again, you've got to be willing to wake up and say, hey, this is, I just started a marble down the little path that's never going to stop rolling.
Right.
Like, it's got to be an ongoing committed effort.
Now, I have to jump in. I have to ask John something. Okay. And you don't have to name names, John. You don't have to name names. But I imagine that you've been in a situation, because you just said it. You said you love what you do, and you really like the people that you're working with. But I imagine that there's come a time, probably more than once, where you worked with a great person or a couple or partners in a business, and they did everything right, and they're great, and then they die, and the kids inherit or the partner inherits or somebody inherits, and you're like, oh, man. These are not the people I was working with before, huh?
Tell you what, it's a challenge because it's so real, and it's something that they can't teach you at Harvard Business School, let alone Columbus High, where I went to high school. You know, I mean, the reality is this. When we're involved in this type of planning, and it could be, you know, five great partners that have great visions, and they all play on the same Super Bowl team together, love's in the air, there's a lot of money. But you get a developer involved, and there's also sorts of crazy things that happen where literally, you know, you're involved in this planning on behalf of your client and all these other great people, but now you've got this massive five-person partnership divorce going on. It's hell on wheels. And it's not a negative thing, but you've got to have the ability to understand the situation that you're in to make sure you get through it. Similarly, death, I've had, you know, in 21 years, had 30 death claims where clients of any shape or size have passed away. It's been whether it's long terminal illnesses to immediate car wrecks to you name it. And so the reality is these are the real life things that occur. Divorce. I mean, divorce is just about as bad as death, other than you're still alive, because you lose a lot of things close to you, friends, family, possessions. And so what occurs is these are emotional experiences across the board. And even when you get a second generation involved in the biz, and maybe they haven't, you know, earned their way in, it doesn't mean they're bad people. They just don't understand the dynamic of what it took to get there. And working through that is literally a huge challenge because they don't know any better and they're not trying to be difficult. But the reality is that they're going to be difficult because they're trying to wrap their head around or appreciate, you know, even trying to appreciate what they have. It isn't as easy as it was for the person that made it all happen. So you ask a great question because to answer it, I've been through, quite frankly, there's always at least one or two of them going on routinely. And what it also allows you to do when you're working with families is you take the experiences. It allows you to help properly set expectations on the front end because you want to help try and divert all of that the best you can, okay? But even then, you're not going to make anything foolproof because, you know, there's always going to be a new example that arises that you're just, you wake up going, you know, you got to be effing kidding me. You know, it's definitely, that's just how it is. I mean, you know, I call it this, you're like, wow, I thought I'd seen everything. This is insane, but it's really true.
Right.
That, well said. Well said.
So, anyway, that's. I know those are some long answers to your questions, but those are the answers.
Yeah. There are. We have a lot of speakers come through the show, John, and I'm, as I have stated, I'm really involved in the. In the financial world now, studying, interviewing with New York Life. I read Anthony Robbins, Tony Robbins' new book, or latest book, is called Money, Master the Game, Seven Simple Steps to Financial Freedom. It's 685 pages. I read the whole book.
So it's not simple.
No, and he would say, I believe he would say the same thing that I've said about many things. It's easy, but it's simple, but it's not easy because people just their attitudes toward money are all wrong, and they just don't, you know, focus on what the important things are when it comes to money. But I have bookmarked KublerFinancial.com because there's so much value here. Just on your website, there's so much value. You're giving away too much, John.
But you know what? At the end of the day, I'm not going to be able to hit everybody on a one-on-one basis. So people can learn from that and go to their current advisors. To me, there's no competition out there. It's all about creating something that other people can benefit from. I don't need to be paid on everything that I try to bring to the table. I truly mean that. So to me, and I'm not right all the time either. So those are just things that have worked for myself and my company and my clients and the people I'm surrounded with. But I also think they could be valuable to those that already have current professionals in their lives, and they may already be doing things great.
Right.
But I will tell you, I put that disclaimer like we talked about earlier, you know, you go to check that site out, be ready for some boring stuff.
Yeah, yeah. or scary, or hopeful, get involved yourself. Your estate planner, your financial professionals that you engage can't do it all for you, hands off. You can't be vacationing in the south of France and just dial it in. You've got to get involved.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. And there's a lot of great advisors out there, and there are a lot of great attorneys and accountants. So I think that's the biggest message. If you're already surrounded by great people, you know, get committed with them. And, you know, someone's got to be the ringleader to make sure everybody collaborates and checks the egos at the door.
Right.
Because otherwise, you're not going to get to the finish line.
Right. Great advice. It's been fabulous. So we talked about the mixer. It's April 21st, a week from yesterday. Next Thursday, it's going to be fantastic. You might even get to meet John. What else can we say about that? What is it that you would like, John, to highlight about going forward? What is Kubler Financial trying to accomplish in the next phase of your business?
You know what? Me and my marketing guy, who I give all the credit to on the website, but he's taking the time to get to really know the inner fabric of what we're doing. We try to focus on our version of pain relief and what our goal, you know, specifically for those people and families and businesses we work with is just to help, you know, minimize the amount of unnecessary pain that is caused by destruction of their estate or their business or their legacy for generations to come. We make sure that we can protect them against multiple things, primarily, you know, taxes and the efficiency of their current estate, you know, the estate maximization. So, you know, there is no magic pill, and I don't wake up with, you know, claiming to be the guy that's going to change the world on this stuff.
Mm.
But for me, I figured if I have to do this the rest of my life, which is pretty much at this point what I'm doing, I want to be, you know, 100 miles an hour on that pain relief, and I've got to do whatever I can to make it even fun for me.
Right.
Because otherwise it's just, you know, it's knowledge and information and experience that I feel that would be not being put to the proper use. So, that's to me what the forward-looking thoughts are from Kubler Financial. And, you know, I have a good feeling we're going to be really successful.
I just had the signature experience of hearing Tavis Smiley speak in person. I was at the Los Angeles Times Book Festival at USC this past weekend, and you know, he talks a lot about legacy. I mean, about teaching young people. Do you guys have a mentorship program with younger people, or
you
even just young professionals?
So there's, you know, a couple different things here. I'm on the board of directors, which is why I'm in Charlotte, number one, for a nonprofit called the Behailu Academy, BEHAILU Academy. I'm a treasurer, so I'm out here on the East Coast, nothing trying to get in anyone's pockets on the West Coast. But things we're doing is helping teach financial literacy to at-risk children in North Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that we're big involved in. The other thing is from a mentoring perspective, is part of my sister company that I formed years ago to help work with clients of any size. That's been nothing but mentoring, because I'm helping younger professionals in our industry learn and be prepared for all the things that they can do to help and enable a client through a proper process.
Right.
And then beyond all of that, for 14 years I've had an internship program with the University of Nebraska business college, and then also we've got an internship program with USC. And so we've got interns actively working in our downtown LA office to give them a different angle of what, you know, the business world looks like. So, you know, I don't know in terms of, you know, the ability for me just to hopefully get the word out and impact from a mentoring perspective comes, I mean, I need mentoring for me all the time from fellow parents, fellow people, the drivers. I'm a horrible driver most of the time, say. So to me, it's more of mentoring can be defined multiple ways, but we're definitely active through three or four different things on an ongoing basis.
Wow. Fantastic. Would you mind if I gave the website for the Bahailu Academy?
Sure.
A-I-L-U, right?
Yep.
Bahailu Academy, B-E-H-A-I-L-U Academy.org Charlotte, North Carolina. And
yep.
Great organization.
Yep. We've got an event coming up May 14th. Not that anyone will be out here, but Ruben Studdard of American Idol flying in to perform. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is once again a grassroots effort of something out here, especially that's really, really needed. Because, you know, we're not all born into great environments, regardless of your political affiliation. The reality is there's definitely people that are trying hard and are a little more insecure than the average guy because they're not athletic or whatever. And this organization is filling that void through the arts. And I'm horrible at art, by the way. So other than what I do for a living. So that's been one of the great benefits of getting involved with this group is to try to help them, you know, launch it and keep it going.
All right. Well, listen, this hour is flying by. John, let's get your contact information, website, phone numbers, and all that good stuff.
You know what? I would just suggest the website is www.kubler.com. My phone number, I'll give you the toll-free number, 866-932-3632. And there's also another toll-free number, and I hate to say it. I don't have it at the top of my I can't believe I don't have my own toll-free number, but it's one off the site. You know, I rarely call myself, and I hate to say it. And then the email address is jkubler@kubler.com. And, you know, once again, the phone number, the other toll-free number is on the site, and there's also a local South Bay number on there as well, I believe. Mm-hmm. And that might be actually what's listed. So at the end of the day, you know, more than happy to answer any questions from anyone. And I appreciate you both allowing me to come on your show.
It was great because you really, you know, took us inside the world of estate planning, estate maximization, as your website says, the Estate Maximization Company, and it was fascinating. Thank you so much, John, for joining us today.
You bet. You guys take care.
All right. We're going to be having a great weekend. The weekend where everyone is stressing out over how they're going to get their taxes done.
There you go. A nice frantic weekend.
Well, try not to be too frantic. I hope you've been able to get it done before this, or if you haven't, just relax into it. Get it done. You've got till Monday. It's going to be great. It's going to happen. And have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye now. And, of course, thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Jeff.